The Sportscast, June 10th, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook, and Twitter. Also, on Apple Podcasts, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And also, you can listen to us on online digital radio. And you could also go to our website, thesportscast.net, and also download our app, The Sportscast. We had late-breaking news. Going to get a notification. The Big 12 is adding UCF and some other teams, Cincinnati. So the Big 12 will be more exciting than usual. And, of course, but this week is a little bit of NBA. Of course, game four is tonight. Warriors are down against the Celtics 2-1. And join us, a man that is at a wedding, not sure if he's getting married or not, Jordan Vargas. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you for having me. Excited.
Jordan Vargas, so tell us, what's the update on your personal? No, sorry. How you been lately? What's going on? Are you in Illinois this weekend?
No, I am not in Illinois, but I'm still in the Midwest.
Midwest.
No, I'm excited. Thank you for having me.
Undisclosed location, right?
Oh yeah, no, just in the Midwest, okay. In Kansas,
nice, Kansas City. All right, so let's start. Steph Curry had a interesting injury yesterday. Well, game three on Wednesday, he was pretty much toppled on by Al Horford, probably the biggest guy in the Celtics. Said yesterday during the press conference he is going to play. He's expected to go out and play. Yep. He says his status was up in the air after game three, but said he is going all in. He said, I got about 10 hours and a half hours of sleep, which I can't get. A couple of dunks in the ice bucket, and that's about it for now. Jordan, how important is Curry for this Warriors team, and do you think he can lead this team to a tie? Series tie.
His role with the Golden State is tremendous. The impact he makes in his experience and kind of veteranship role. Remember, the Warriors have been in position, I believe this is their sixth time. So they know what it's like being down in the series, and they know what they need to do to get up. And Curry being injured and sitting out is just not what they need. They need him as a player. They needed him to go play his role. And he just overall makes the Warriors, play better. I think it's momentum, speed. And what he just kind of brings, his presence on the floor, makes everybody around him play a lot better, play more efficient. And again, they're more used to Curry being at the one, taking the ball up the floor, and that's how everybody's been rolling for the past six NBA Finals appearances. So it doesn't shock me that he's, deciding to go ahead and play through it, but I'm glad to see him do it.
How would you compare this Curry player? I mean, is he the Jordan leader type of player? Is he kind of a half step from that type of leadership? Like, how would you compare him to the greats in the past, the Magic Johnsons, to I guess, LeBron and Michael Jordan and Kobe? How would you compare him to those greats?
I would compare him. I wouldn't measure him against Michael Jordan. I wouldn't measure him against LeBron. Curry's the type of player where he has people around him that just play. They play their role at the best they can. The players on their team are the best players at their role in the NBA. Klay Thompson, one of the best shooters in the NBA. Jordan Poole is climbing up the rankings. Draymond, one of the best bigs coming down. Steve Kerr, one of the best coaches. So everybody on that team plays a role. It's kind of hard to depict who Curry plays like or his leadership role, but everybody on that team sort of is the leader in their position and in their team role or team leadership. Everybody has a part, and I think that's what makes the Warriors great. I don't specifically think it's one player, but Curry definitely holds momentum over all of his other teammates. But it's because it's who he is. He makes everybody else around him continuously better. And they're just a hard team to compete against because they're all so versatile.
Yeah. Which is interesting because this has been a debate that I've been having since Joseph Hastings that I met at Starbucks about 3 weeks ago. And also Ryan Krista kind of comes in agreement, maybe Jordan probably as well, that these Warriors teams are more comparable to the San Antonio Spurs than the Chicago Bulls of the past. It's more team effort, more ball movement. No real star, you can say. No real star that takes over and scores. Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, Curry, you know, can score, but, you know, tremendously, you know, 50 points at sometimes, but it's usually a variables, a whole lot of different variables that come together. So we'll see what happens. Curry said he's getting as much recovery and healing as possible and understand how important game four it is. I'm excited about the opportunity. Curry also said he compares his injury he suffered in game three to a less severe version of the foot sprain he suffered against the Celtics back in March when Marcus Smart rolled on his leg in another loose ball situation and he missed the final month of the regular season. Wow, deja vu, Jordan, of all teams. You repeat the same incident. Anyways. Sorry, go ahead.
It's nuts.
It's crazy. Anyways, Jordan, the series 2-1. Celtics won game one, Warriors won game two, game three, back at the TD Garden, and of course, the Celtics won that one. They're up 2-1. Your thoughts over the series? Are you seeing a clear winner so far, or maybe the Warriors could come back and tie it up?
One thing I'll say this, and both teams do this tremendously well, is they know how to adapt. When it was game seven, when I was watching Boston versus Miami, everybody thought Miami could come back because Boston was keeping it within. Miami kept Boston's lead within seven or eight, so they thought they can easily come back. But Boston constantly adjusted to their offense, constantly adjusted to their defense, and that's just the team that they are. They just know how to adapt and they know how to adjust. They know when they need to pivot. They just know when they need to make adjustments at the right times. And that's the same thing with the Golden State Warriors, is that they know how to make adjustments. So it's kind of hard for me to say who's going to take the series because both teams do that so well. From the starters to the bench players, they do that tremendously. So I think right now it's going to happen. My personal, I want Boston to win personally. I feel like it'd be good for the franchise. I mean, they haven't won a championship, I believe, in 2008 or 2009 against the Lakers when they had Paul Pierce and Rondo, Garnett, and Doc Rivers was the coach. But I want Boston to personally win. I think Jason Tatum deserves it.
The truth.
He's climbed up to be one of my favorite players in the NBA.
Jason Tatum. Which I asked you about before, you know, Curry compared to the greats. I know Tatum is young, his first finals. I mean, we can't compare him to anything. Young player, only in his early 20s, Jordan. How do you see him so far? Is he going to be one of the greats? So, hey, but or you can say, I need some more data here. I don't know yet, but how do you see him so far in the league?
Comparably to the greats when they first started in the league, he's on track. Every great, when they start in the league, it's not the most impressive run. Let me rephrase that. It is an impressive run, but you're kind of wondering if they can keep that up. Are they going to dip? Are they going to peak? Did they already peak? Are they going to continue to climb? Is their skill going to decline after this? And it seems like Jason Tatum's only going to get better with his experience, his leadership roles, Boston Celtics coaching development, their player development program they have there is fantastic. So, in my personal opinion, Jason Tatum is going to lead up to be one of the greats just because his track record from when everybody else was at that same point in time, he's following in all the right tracks.
Let me throw like a little devil's advocate, Jordan. But hey, I mean, like Boston had it a little bit easy. You know, Brooklyn Nets weren't all there. The Bucks didn't have Middleton. The Heat didn't have a hero. What would you say to those critics?
Well, I think the Miami Heat not having Tyler Hero, as much as I love Tyler Hero, I don't think that's much of a big divot. The Brooklyn Nets not having it together, that's an organization problem. That's something that was a Brooklyn problem. It wasn't a Boston problem. Boston nearly just came in and took care of business because they're that good of a team. And not saying Brooklyn isn't that good of a team. They're a fantastic team. Personally, in my opinion, one of the best teams in the NBA. But Boston outperformed them. Brooklyn has, they had four games to make sure that, they had four games to win. They had to keep Boston from winning four games, and they couldn't. You know, Miami had to do the same deal. They had to keep Boston from winning four games, and they couldn't. So, in the sense of, did they have it easy? I'm not going to say they had it easy. I think they had a clear path. But here's going to be the real challenge, and the fact that Boston is leading 2-1 is very, very – it shows a lot of what the team is made of and the team's actual skill level that they're going against the Golden State Warriors. Mind you, Golden State has swept teams before. So the fact that Boston has the advantage, the lead point over them is good to see.
So you're saying it's no coincidence they're up 2-1?
No coincidence, no.
Or conspiracy?
No conspiracy.
There you go. Back to the Warriors, Golden State. A lot of these young players coming up, Poole, Wiggs. Do they need to step it up a little bit more? You know, Curry is not 100%. We can both agree with that. Which of these young players do you want to see more tonight? Maybe score 40 points.
I want to see Poole.
Why?
And I don't want Boston to win, but Poole is, to me, he's up next in the NBA. In the NBA, Jordan Poole is up next. I want to see him score a lot. I want to see him pitch in. I want to see him sort of fill that role in that Curry had, that presence, maybe fill in the void a little bit. Curry can't get up and down the court as fast, or he may not be able to make – his playmaking decisions may not be fully there because physically he isn't there yet. So Poole's going to have to step in. I personally want to see Poole step it up tonight. I mean, it's a perfect time for him, too. But, again, Boston is a team that if there's a weakness to be sought, they're going to see it, and they're going to want to play with it. They're going to know how to play around it. And so I'm excited to see what's going to happen. I personally believe Boston is going to go take this game. On the mere fact that they know how to adjust, they know Golden State's playing style, they know that there's injuries, they know that there's fatigue. And with that, players are going to have to step up, so they're going to have to break into new shoes. You know, but I believe, yeah, Boston's going to go up.
A whole nother X factor here. Draymond Green, got a technical, was ejected in Game 3. Is he an X factor? Do they need to calm them down? What is the deal with Draymond Green? Is he a distraction for the Warriors?
No, I think he needs to be able to bring – that's the energy they need. They need someone bringing that energy to them. But I love it.
You're not saying it because you're going for Boston.
I love that he's bringing the energy. Golden State needs the energy. They kind of have the nice guy energy, and Draymond – mixes it up a little bit, so people, they don't know how they should feel going into the game.
I don't know if the Celtics are provoking Green what the Cavs did a few years ago when he got suspended for a game and that changed the whole series. The Warriors were up 3-1 and then the Cavs won it. Do you think they're using that strategy to get him going and maybe get suspended?
I think they use that strategy with every team in the NBA. But particularly Draymond, they know that that strategy is, if we look at the history books, it's worked. So quite possibly they could be using that strategy to go against them. But I also believe that they could be just merely, playing it out. I mean, this is winning for the championship. This is going in for this is for all the marbles. So in the sense that they're all just kind of, a do or die situation. So maybe they're ramping it up to get Draymond, but I personally just think that they're just out there to play basketball, and they do it with every other team. Draymond just happens to have a shorter temper.
Well, there you have it. Let's wait for the predictions toward the end of the show. Maybe I can convince Jordan to pick the Warriors, but wait and see. Let's go into the Hornets, Charlotte. MJ, Air Jordan interview this week, Mike D'Antoni and Kenny Atkinson for the head coach position. It is vacant. It is available. Of course, GM Mitch Kupchak is probably in the room as well. Maybe not. I don't know. Jordan, your thoughts? Would you pick either of these two, and which one would you pick, and why?
I would pick D'Antoni, but my first choice would be Mike Brown. But the Sacramento Kings already picked him up. But if I had a first choice, it'd be Mike Brown. Second choice, it would be D'Antoni. D'Antoni's had a proven record. Played phenomenally. He had a great run. He had a great run in New York, a good run in Houston. So he knows what to do with player development. He knows how to coach well. He has that veteran experience, especially Charlotte. With being, I'm not going to say the young team in the NBA, but they definitely have a younger presence. They need sort of that older leadership role. I just don't think James Bragel is really there to cut it. So I'm happy to see that he moved on. But if I would have someone come in, it'd be D'Antoni.
D'Antoni, old timer, of course, coach for the Lakers, coach for the Houston Rockets, also the Brooklyn Nets. Of course, anyone coach there leaves after a year. I'm kidding. So Mike D'Antoni, 71 years old, a lot of experience, can't get the team together. Hornets did make it to the play-in last year, this year, but did not get out of the first game. So we'll see what happens. A young Hornets team, Air Jordan making the decision. They got the GM in place. They got the players. But we'll see what happens. The coach might move some pieces around. Maybe get Kevin Durant. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know if Jordan wants Kevin Durant in Charlotte.
Of course I want Kevin Durant in Charlotte.
Okay. Anyways, there it is, the Hornets. We won't find out. Maybe next week or in a few weeks. There is a guy named Quinn Snyder who left Utah Jazz. Would you put him as a candidate for Charlotte?
Interview him. See what happens. See what he has to say. Compare it against the other ones. But personally, my heart's been set on D'Antoni ever since I saw he was in the interview process.
There you have it. And also just to hear what Quinn Snyder has to offer. Maybe he has some game plans. Look, I can. These coaches have to say, I can take this team to the playoffs. We can skip over the play-in. This is my plan. This is what we can do. This is what I can do for LaMelo. I can make him great. Things like that. You got to hear this stuff in the interviews. Anyways,
right.
On to the prospects. International prospecting, Luka. Who is the next Luka or the next Tony Parker, French prospect Rayan Rupert, played New Zealand. He's one of the most promising young wing players in the world. And he's going to New Zealand Breakers of the Australian National Basketball League next season. Rupert, who is 6'7" with a 7'3" wingspan, is projected to be the 21st pick in ESPN's 2023 NBA mock draft. Another French forward, Osman Dieng, a projected – okay, another one. So Rupert, who turns 18, has drawn comparisons to Phoenix Suns forward Mikal Bridges because of the defensive versatility that comes with his wingspan, his ability to get into the passing lanes, and the intensity with which he plays on defense. Your thoughts on this, Jordan? Is he a force to be reckoned with?
I say he is. Watching him – played 13, 14. He played for his national team. Over time, his skill level is just developing. And again, when he goes to play in the NBL over in Australia, it's just going to break. So I'm very excited to see what he's going to do. I love his playing style. I've been following him on Draft Express. He's a fantastic shooter. He has great size, great facilitator, and has a heavy presence on the court, being able to shoot the ball. And he's 6'7". In reality, that's tall. In the NBA, it's a good height where you want to be at, but it's his wingspan at 7'3", which is takes it all. Being able to put the ball a little bit higher when you shoot it, having a little bit more length in transition, having the ball. So very excited to see what he's going to do. And personally, I'd love to see him in the NBA.
Yeah, he'll have a year from now to the 2023 NBA mock to the NBA draft. Exciting stars going up in that year, so we'll see what happens. Another foreign player, another international that make an impact, maybe be the next Luka or Jokic in Denver. So We'll see what happens. LeBron James making some noise once again is talking about maybe investing in a NBA team in Las Vegas. He said, I want to own a team. I want to buy a team for sure. He's a billion-dollar player, by the way. He said in a preview clip from the latest episode of his talk show, The Shop, and it says, I want a team in Vegas. He's currently a part owner of the Red Sox, Penguins, and Liverpool. Hey, why not? Maybe Big Bronny, Jordan.
That would be great if he got if he played for the team that he owns and got his son there, and his two other sons, Bronny and Bryce.
I did not know about Bryce.
Bryce is the youngest boy, but he's gonna be an incoming freshman over at Sierra Canyon. He's about 6'6". So very excited to see what he's going to do.
And your thoughts about LeBron owning a Vegas team?
I love it. You know, I don't think a lot of players in the NBA, in fact, I believe none, current standing roster players own any part of the team. In a financial standpoint, you know, of course, they have socially, you know, they have a big impact on the team. But from a financial standpoint, no other player can do it, and only LeBron can. I mean, LeBron is a billionaire now, so it would be amazing to see if he could do that. And I think it would change the NBA and it get people a lot more invested and kind of look at it from a different perspective. You know, not only from a basketball standpoint, but now we're entering the business standpoint. You know, the financial standpoint of things. So if he would be able to do that, that'd be amazing.
We'll see what happens. Of course, Vegas has not had a professional basketball team. But they do have a G League team. I'm trying to look it up. What's the name of it? It is Ignite to Play. I don't have that right now. Maybe they don't. But there is a Las Vegas Aces, but I'm not sure if that's a women's team.
That's WNBA.
Yeah, exactly, which is starting in the summer. Las Vegas, of course, will be a great spot for an NBA team. NFL has an NBA NFL team there. It is the Las Vegas Raiders. So far, so good. Issues with gambling and players, but now you could gamble anywhere in the country, so it doesn't make difference in Vegas or not. Los Angeles Lakers, speaking about LeBron, the Lakers' new coach, Darvin Ham, has hired Rasheed Wallace, the guy that wears the Air Force Ones. Will be an assistant coach for the Los Angeles Lakers, the prestigious Los Angeles Lakers. He spent a year coaching at collegiate level under Penny Hardaway at the University of Memphis. His departure from the Memphis coaching staff to join the Lakers was something that Hardaway expected and hinted at Monday morning. The Lakers team, your thoughts on Rasheed Wallace joining Darvin Ham?
I'm excited to see. What do you think of it?
I think it's good. I don't know what Rasheed Wallace's coaching skills are, but he was a great basketball player, NBA champion back in 2004 with Chauncey Billups. This is probably before you were born, I believe. It was 2004. So he does bring championship experience, and I think the Lakers are cleaning house in a way. I think this is very positive for the Lakers. But I still think it's LeBron's team, Jordan, and I don't know what Darvin Ham can do, what type of authority he can bring, but what are your thoughts over the state of the Lakers?
The Lakers are doing a good job. They're recognizing that they need to make adjustments quick. With the talent and level they have and the money that they're paying for this level of talent, you need to make adjustments fast, and it cannot be from a player standpoint, but it has to be more from a coaching standpoint. More of a leadership. So having them making those adjustments now, I believe, is a good idea. And I believe there's probably going to be more to come, but it's going to be smaller adjustments. It's not going to be so much big-time coaches that you're going to recognize their name with adjustments. I believe it's going to be little things within the organization that they're going to need to take care of to get the Lakers back to that Showtime winning standpoint.
Yes, and of course Ham will definitely should be better than Frank Vogel. Russell Westbrook, he's been flirting the idea of keeping him in Los Angeles. Do you think they should?
You know, it's I believe they need to. Again, I had my opinion about Russell Westbrook, saying he was kind of a ball hog. He wasn't that good of a player. More I look at it, he's too much of a talent for the Lakers to just let go. And LeBron needs someone who can roll with them. Carmelo, you know, Carmelo's getting up in age. He's not as fast. He's not as quick. Russell, on the other hand, he could still run. So LeBron needs someone like that to depend on, and they need that Showtime power.
Yeah. We'll see what what he can bring to the table. Maybe Darvin Ham, you know, can motivate him and maybe bring it, you know, and just bring it all together and just bring that core. Carmelo, I have different thoughts about that, but maybe bring another player, another piece into this Laker team to at least make it to the play-in and have improvement. Mm-hmm. And winning the chip, I don't know, man. Can LeBron win another chip? He's 37.
Yeah.
Think so?
I believe he can.
We'll see what happens. His injuries has his health has been catching up to him. So we'll see what happens. Predictions. I don't know if I was able to change his mind. Talk about LeBron and Charlotte, but who you got for Game 4? Warriors and Celtics.
Boston.
What's the score? Boston, give him a score. Boston.
110-103.
It'll be a close match. Close game.
Yeah.
There you have it. I don't know. This injury with Warriors, with Curry, I think the Boston might have the edge, but we'll see if Jordan Poole can step it up. Klay had 25 points. Maybe bump it up a little bit to 30 and see what the Warriors can do. I'm going to say Warriors by a hairline, 114-113.
Okay.
Fair enough, right? Okay. Poll question of the day, Jordan. What is your favorite herbs and spices? The choices are cinnamon, hot pepper, garlic, or oregano.
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon it is. That actually was my first answer, and they're all tied for 25%.
Garlic is good too. Cinnamon is just, you put it on everything.
What?
You could put cinnamon on everything.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You could put it on sweets. You could put it on salty food. You could put it on rice, you know. But I think cinnamon goes best with brown sugar.
I'd have to agree, yeah.
Jordan Vargas took his time from a wedding rehearsal to join us in the sportscast. Jordan, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about your coaching camp?
You can follow me on Twitter, JordanVargas02, or Instagram, Jordan Vargas.
And also tell us about your basketball camp. Give us an update on that.
We will be having another one. The AAU team I coach for, we're going to have our season coming up and have a basketball camp, so that should be good. I'm very excited.
It's a new prospect coming along, right?
Mm-hmm. New process. That's right.
Always, and a product from Jordan Vargas as well. And what is your LinkedIn? Your LinkedIn's been hot lately.
Yeah, it's Jordan Vargas on LinkedIn.
Yeah, search for it. Jordan will accept the connection, right?
Yes, of course.
Accepted me. I got lucky. I don't know. Maybe you'll be lucky. But anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net or thesportscast1 on Twitter. We follow everyone back. Usually, and also on Instagram, the Sportscast 1. This weekend, tonight is Game 4. Tampa Bay Lightning last night went up 3-2 against the Rangers, so that is looking it's looking like Tampa might go against the Avalanche, which Avalanche are the favorites no matter who goes to the Stanley Cup finale. And, of course, on Monday, we'll have back Ryan Krista to recap the weekend. I believe Game 4. 5 might be until Monday. I don't think they'll have a day to go back to San Francisco. It's too far of a flight. So we'll see. Maybe until like Tuesday or Wednesday. But we'll see what happens. And maybe tonight might be a pivotal Game 4. If the Warriors win it, it'll be even. And we don't know for sure who is the champion. But the Celtics are looking good. They're looking good by the mm-hmm. second. Anyways, Jordan Vargas, thanks for joining us on this beautiful Friday in Kansas and
no
Miami.
Thank you for having me.
Cheers, and this was your update.